Well, let's start, Commissioner. I would guess this is probably the most unique spring sports period you've ever seen as Commissioner of the Upper Midwest Athletic Conference. Kind of take me through how you're handling it personally, in regard to mentally, and then trying to keep track of all the schools and make sure everything is going the way you'd like to see it go with those schools. What a spring, huh?
It certainly has been, and in my 12 years in this position, we've certainly never experienced anything like this, though I think really in, you know, all of intercollegiate athletics, it's some uncharted territory and new waters that we're trying to navigate through. So particularly, you know, the first part of March when COVID-19 really started to impact institutions and athletics really started a lot of dominoes for us. But it really was so fluid and it just moved so quickly that I think that's why in itself was so challenging compared to certainly other challenges we face each year. But this particular situation, the speed of it has certainly been hard to stay in front. But our schools have done a great job trying to make decisions in a timely manner, but due diligence and wise decisions with the knowledge and the information that they have at the time. So, you know, we really went through a process that started with our schools making decisions, and then from there, conference made decisions as far as our spring sports season. And we were hoping, hanging on, that we'd be able to give our student-athletes some type of experience, albeit probably an abbreviated one or, you know, modified in some format. We were hoping that we could still do that, but as this COVID-19 situation continued to evolve, unfortunately, it became reality that our schools were just not going to be in position to do that. So therefore, then our presidents and chancellors made that very, very difficult, unprecedented decision, and certainly not one that any of us wanted to make, but to cancel our spring season.
Yeah, take me back to that time, because I think now as we talk here, late May, early April, you'd look back and say, clearly the right decision is no sports, given where we all are and the state practically being shut down and all of that. But at the time, it probably wasn't the easiest of decisions, or maybe it was. I mean, it was hard to tell people and inform them what was going on. But how did those conversations go back at that initial point where you had to inform athletic directors or as a group come to that conclusive decision that the spring sports season would be done as a conference?
Yeah, you know, it really started in early March when I literally would connect with our presidents and our athletic directors daily to get an update on where they were at as an institution in terms of institutional decisions about students on campus, you know, sending them home, extracurricular activities, including athletics, what was being allowed, not being allowed. And so it really became a kind of a daily update as far as where were our schools at. And, you know, at first there was only one or two, you know, that started making decisions that modified their athletics programs and affected what athletics was able to do. And then understandably so, as the situation continued to develop and evolve, more of our schools began to move to that place where they just did not feel, based upon state and local and federal updates, that they were going to be in position to continue offering athletics. So I think the difficult challenge with this situation was the speed that it was evolving and so fluid. We would meet, you know, via conference call or Zoom in a morning, and by the afternoon, you know, perhaps the state governor of either Minnesota or Wisconsin had made new decisions, new updates, new briefings that affected us. And so it was a pretty exhausting stretch just because of daily we were trying to stay ahead and at the same time react and what was going on around us. So ultimately, once we hit that point where most of our schools had made the decision, either their board of trustees or, you know, their president and cabinet leadership, that they were not going to continue to offer athletics, the writing was on the wall for us at the conference level. But
how difficult I'm not talking about the decision, but how difficult is it now, I would think, to know that these student athletes, I mean, and it's out of everybody's control. There's no fault, no blame to place here. It's a situation out of, you know, that just, you know, happened. How hard is that, though, to know that athletes in your conference, particularly the seniors, in essence, this is it for them, and they really didn't get a closure on their athletic career, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, that was the heart-wrenching part and the most difficult part. You know, we, from a logistics standpoint, not ideal or easy or desired, but, you know, canceling umpires or officials and all the championship arrangements, logistics for all of our spring championships and some of the other programming, you know, those pieces, just from an operational standpoint, you know, we could work through. But the part that really, you know, touched on everybody was the student athletes that are impacted and the coaches. You know, I think it's important to first note our coaches pour so much into this. I mean, it is, you know, their livelihood. It's their way of life. I mean, it impacts their family. And they, you know, just the amount of time that they invest in their programs was also, you know, such a difficult and a challenging part to see them have to work through emotionally as well. But then, you know, they're on the front lines and the first to try to answer questions and work for the student athletes. And that by far was the most, you know, emotionally exhausting part, was just thinking through all of our student athletes that would be impacted, in particular the seniors, knowing that for many of them, even if, you know, there are some opportunities that are given back through this from a compliance standpoint and eligibility, a lot of them are moving on to, you know, the next chapter of their life, be it full-time work or grad school or other opportunities. The reality of a lot of them are, you know, not going to be in a position to play even next year if they wanted to. And so that's the part that, you know, it's one thing to put up press releases and, you know, website updates and inform people that we need to. But when you talk with our student athletes and our seniors, you know, just person to person, that by far was some of the most difficult conversations that we had to have.
Yeah, and I would think, too, your conference is a non-scholarship conference where it might be a no-brainer for a Division I player who might have a full ride as a baseball or softball player. Not all Division I base, most don't have full rides, but many are, you know, don't have to pay full price, so to speak. But as a non-scholarship league, as all D3 leagues are, I would think that many, like you said, many of these student athletes probably aren't all that interested in investing another $30,000 or $40,000 in tuition if they've, most of them after 4 years, I'm talking seniors now, would have already gotten their degree here at the end of this semester, right? So that makes it a different dynamic with the Division III conference.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It appears, you know, we know already some of the answers in terms of working with the NCAA on compliance and eligibility, and some of those answers include, you know, semester and seasons back. Some situations we're still waiting for more answers. But the reality is I think it'll be such a small number of seniors that do come back and continue to participate one more season in some aspect. Because exactly as you said, with not having the athletic scholarship as part of their situation, you know, they're paying pretty significant tuition costs at any of our institutions, and the family financial situation obviously comes into play and consideration as well. And so it, when you put all those factors together, athletics, you know, for many of our students is a high priority, but it's not the highest priority and not the only priority by any means. So when they're making decisions now and looking to the future, a lot of it will be based upon, you know, the non-athletic piece. And if it works out to continue to play next year, great. But if not, I think most unfortunately have, you know, had to come to that place of realizing that the athletic career unfortunately had to end it in this capacity.
A lot of places now have come to realize how important mental health is to college age kids, whether they're athletes or not, what have you. And then you throw this piece in with it, particularly for athletes in your conference. Kind of give me a thought in terms of what the institutions in your league and what the coaches and administrators might be trying to help with in terms of handling for these college age kids and in your case, these athletes in your conference, the mental side of this with this big, many have mental health issues already trying to fight through whatever life might deal them as young adults. And now you throw this on top of it. What kind of take me through as a league, what some of the institutions and some of your coaches are saying in trying to help from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's such a critical part to, you know, address and to talk about. So I'm glad you brought that up. We realized right away in our conference office, our conference staff, that, you know, we're still going to provide services and support for our members this spring and do everything we can, but it's going to look a whole lot different in terms of what type of services and support that we're going to provide this spring. And so first and foremost, many of our institutions have and are in the process of providing new or additional mental health related resources for their student athletes and coaches and staff as well, who are all, you know, still emotionally working through this. And so whether that's, you know, additional counseling services opportunities, whether it's programming, you know, that provides some opportunities for coaches to work through at the institutional level, many of our members are doing that. From the conference level, you know, what we can do and what we can control, we are really focusing our efforts on the spring of trying to provide some professional development opportunities for coaches. We're going to be doing several, you know, Zoom video conference calls where part of it will be just for coaches to be able to share and talk about their experience and hear from other coaches and, you know, share together in some of the challenges and the emotional highs and lows that this spring has already brought and will bring. So we plan to do that throughout April and May. And as part of that, also will be some programming focusing on, you know, how do coaches still recruit? How do they still stay engaged with their current student athletes and have success? But really, it's going to be wrapped in, and I bring it back to your question about mental health. A lot of the, you know, kind of true foundation or intent of some of those things that we'll do is to try to do what we can to still help support our coaches and our athletic staff work through this. And our goal and hope then is that they can do, you know, even a better job and carry that on to the student athletes. The coaches really are on the front lines in terms of helping answer questions for students, helping student athletes work through, you know, difficult decisions. And so we feel at the conference level or from the seats that we sit in, if we can support our administrators and coaches, hopefully that'll have a trickle effect and impact and kind of expound then further down to the student athlete level as well.
Yeah, I would think, too, for coaches, that is part of the challenge. I think traditionally, if adversity strikes a team, a coach might say, hey, let's have a team meeting in the meeting room, or let's get together in the locker room and we can talk it out, or, hey, come to the office if it's an individual thing. In this case, nobody's around anybody. Coaches are dealing with kids in college athletics, especially, that might be in different states, different parts of the country. So I would think the challenge is especially difficult.
It's interesting, though. One of the things that I love about coaches is they never stop, right? If you're a coach, you're always a coach, and that passion is there. And yes, how that's you know, played out this spring is going to look a lot different, or how that's demonstrated and you know, will be unique, maybe never seen again in terms of how coaches are utilizing their passion and their skills and their energy. But coaches are still finding a way, and that's what I love about our UMAC coaches. They are being creative, you know, primarily through obviously different video, you know, call type of software and tools. They can still connect, whether it's individually or with their entire team. But they're doing great things still via social media as well, connecting with their student athletes. And so I think it took a week to two to kind of to come to that reality, okay, this is what it's going to be in terms of our coaches for the spring. But once they knew that's how it was going to be, they jumped to that next step in planning and figuring out the tools that they did have and could use to still keep in touch with their athletes and continue to build those relationships, which for our institutions that are very enrollment-driven and the athletics population plays such a critical role in enrollment strategies, our coaches are pivotal in terms of retention and keeping in touch with the athletes that hopefully will pay dividends in terms of continuing their experience still next fall if, it can try to be as normal or return to as, whatever that new normal may look like.
Commissioner, let me too ask you, because you had another issue thrown on your plate in addition to this stuff going on here in the last week or two. Not a full-time member, but an associate member of your conference, McMurray College, which is out of the state of Illinois, which is a football, an associate member playing in football in your league. They are going to close the school period. It's not like, hey, we're shutting down temporarily. That school is closing. What does that mean for the UMAC, and how are you trying to address that issue on a sidebar to everything else that's going on? Now.
Well, first, let me just say, I certainly don't wish what McMurray has had to go through over the last couple of months, but particularly the last couple of weeks for any institution. And our thoughts and, empathy first is with them as their leadership and as a school that, was in existence for well over 100 years. Their alumni and all the layers that go with it are still working through and wrestling with the decision that was just announced this past week. So we certainly, are still thinking of them, but it will impact us, obviously, as a conference. Though I think you're going to see more of that in higher ed. I think all of us know that higher ed will be different. It will be impacted. I think we just don't all know how exactly that will look or to what extent yet, but certainly it's going to impact higher ed in particular, I think small private colleges in particular. But as it relates to us, McMurray, the biggest impact, of course, is scheduling. And so football typically is a sport where scheduling is done 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in advance. We now are having to work through contingency plans to, get schedules modified and updated as quick as we can to position our schools to move forward. And we'll do that. We'll get through it. We're already making progress, but certainly was not without an impact on the rest of our football members as well.
Well, very good. With everything that's going on, are you hanging in there okay?
Yeah. I think for a lot of commissioners, probably at all levels, in particularly Division III, I guess, we're not, it's not unique to face challenges and to find ways to overcome. I think this particular situation is just so unusual. There's certainly no manual, or we could, look back at a guide or a precedent of how previously people have worked through it. So it feels like we're moving from that kind of day-to-day planning and trying to stay ahead to being able to look a little bit further ahead and do more strategic planning and, bigger decisions focus on instead of just the daily fires, but doing okay. And I think there will be good that comes from this. Don't wish what happened this spring in terms of college athletics to happen again, and would rather not have had to experience it, but it will make us stronger. It'll make us better. I think a lot of college athletics administrators know that this already has forced us to do a lot of assessing and processing and evaluating. And so I think there'll be a lot of good that comes from it in the end, but not without some scars to certainly show for it.
Indeed. Well, Commissioner Borkhart, we appreciate your time here, and thanks so much. And maybe we can touch base again down the road as we get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the time, and appreciate the conversation.